the consul thought of the shrike, free to wander everywhere on Hyperion. Of the millions of indigenes and thousands of hegemony citizens helpless before a creature which defied physical laws and which communicated only through death. And he shivered, despite the warmth of the cabin.
Hyperion.
The night and storm passed. Another storm front raced ahead of the approaching dawn. Gymnosperms 200 meters tall bent and whipped before the coming torrent. Just before first light, the consul's ebony spaceship rose on a tail of blue plasma and punched through thickening clouds as it climbed toward space and rendezvous. 1. The consul awoke with the peculiar headache, dry throat, and sense of having forgotten 1,000 dreams, which only periods in cryogenic fugue could bring. He blinked, sat upright on a low couch, and groggily pushed away the last sensor tapes clinging to his skin. There were 2 very short crew clones, and 1 very tall, hooded Templar with him in the windowless ovoid of a room. One of the clones offered the consul the traditional post-thaw glass of orange juice. He accepted it and drank greedily.
"The tree is 2 light minutes and 5 hours of travel from Hyperion,"
said the Templar. And the consul realized that he was being addressed by Het Mastin, captain of the Templar tree ship and true voice of the tree. The consul vaguely realized that it was a great honor to be awakened by the captain, but he was too groggy and disoriented from fugue to appreciate it.
"The others have been awake for some hours,"
said Het Mastin, and gestured for the clones to leave them.
"They have assembled on the foremost dining platform."
said the consul, and took a drink. He cleared his throat and tried again.
"Thank you, Het Mastin,"
he managed. Looking around the egg-shaped room with its carpet of dark grass, translucent walls and support ribs of continuous carved weirwood, the consul realized that he must be in one of the smaller environment pods. Closing his eyes, he tried to recall his memories of rendezvous just before the Templar ship went quantum. The consul remembered his first glimpse of the kilometer-long tree ship as he closed for rendezvous. The tree ship's details blurred by the redundant machine and erg-generated containment fields which surrounded it like a spherical mist, but its leafy bulk clearly ablaze with thousands of lights which shone softly through leaves and thin-walled environment pods, or along countless platforms, bridges, command decks, stairways, and bowers. Around the base of the tree ship, engineering and cargo spheres clustered like oversized galls, while blue and violet drive streamers trailed behind like 10-kilometer-long routes.
"The others await,"
Het Mastin said softly and nodded toward low cushions where the consul's luggage lay ready to open upon his command. The Templar gazed thoughtfully at the weirwood rafters, while the consul dressed in semi-formal evening wear of loose black trousers, polished ship boots, a white silk blouse which ballooned at waist and elbows, topaz collar cinch, black demi-coat complete with slashes of hegemony crimson on the epaulets, and a soft gold tricorn. A section of curved wall became a mirror, and the consul stared at the image there. A more than middle-aged man in semi-formal evening wear, sunburned skin but oddly pale under the sad eyes. The consul frowned, nodded, and turned away. Het Mastin gestured, and the consul followed the tall, robed figure through a dilation in the pod onto an ascending walkway, which curved up and out of sight around the massive bark wall of the tree ship's trunk. The consul paused, moved to the edge of the walkway, and took a quick step back. It was at least 600 meters down. down being created by the 1/6 standard gravity being generated by the singularities imprisoned at the base of the tree. And there were no railings. They resumed their silent ascent, turning off from the main trunk walkway 30 meters and half a trunk spiral later, to cross a flimsy suspension bridge to a 5-meter-wide branch. They followed this outward to where the riot of leaves caught the glare of Hyperion's sun.
"Has my ship been brought out of storage?"
asked the consul.
"It is fueled and ready in Sphere 11," said Hetmastine.
They passed into the shadow of the trunk, and stars became visible in the black patches between the dark latticework of leaves.
"The other pilgrims have agreed to ferry down in your ship if the Force authorities give permission,"
added the Templar. The consul rubbed his eyes and wished that he had been allowed more time to retrieve his wits from the cold grip of cryonic fugue.
"You've been in touch with the task force?"
"Oh, yes. We were challenged the moment we tunneled down from Quantum Leap. A hegemony warship is escorting us this very moment."
Hetmastine gestured toward a patch of sky above them. The consul squinted upward, but at that second, segments of the upper tiers of branches revolved out of the tree ship's shadow, and acres of leaves ignited in sunset hues. Even in the still-shadowed places, glowbirds nestled like Japanese lanterns above lighted walkways, glowing swing vines, and illuminated hanging bridges, while fireflies from Old Earth and radiant gossamers from Maui Covenant blinked and coated their way through labyrinths of leaves, mixing with constellations sufficiently to fool even the most star-wise traveler. Hetmastine stepped into a basket lift hanging from a whiskered carbon cable, which disappeared into the 300 meters of tree above them. The consul followed, and they were borne silently upward. He noted that the walkways, pods, and platforms were conspicuously empty, except for a few Templars and their diminutive crew-clone counterparts. The consul could recall seeing no other passengers during his rushed hour between rendezvous and fugue, but he had put that down to the imminence of the tree ship going quantum, assuming then that the passengers were safe in their fugue couches. Now, however, the tree ship was traveling far below relativistic velocities, and its branches should be crowded with gawking passengers. He mentioned his observation to the Templar.
"The six of you are our only passengers," said Hetmastine.
The basket stopped in a maze of foliage, and the tree ship captain led the way up a wooden escalator worn with age. The consul blinked in surprise. A Templar tree ship normally carried between 2,000 and 5,000 passengers. It was easily the most desirable way to travel between the stars. Tree ships rarely accrued more than a 4 or 5 month time debt, making short, scenic crossings where star systems were a very few light years apart, thus allowing their affluent passengers to spend as little time as necessary in fugue. For the tree ship to make the trip to Hyperion and back, accumulating 6 years of web time with no paying passengers would mean a staggering financial loss to the Templars. Then the consul realized, belatedly, that the tree ship would be ideal for the upcoming evacuation, its expenses ultimately to be reimbursed by the hegemony. Still, the consul knew, to bring a ship as beautiful and vulnerable as the Yggdrasil, one of only 5 of its kind, into a war zone was a terrible risk for the Templar Brotherhood.
"Your fellow pilgrims," announced
Hetmastine, as he and the consul emerged onto a broad platform, where a small group waited at one end of a long wooden table. Above them the stars burned, rotating occasionally as the tree ship changed its pitch or yaw, while to either side a solid sphere of foliage curved away like the green skin of some great fruit. The consul immediately recognized the setting as the captain's dining platform, even before the 5 other passengers rose to let Hetmastine take his place at the head of the table. The consul found an empty chair waiting for him to the left of the captain. When everyone was seated and quiet, Hetmastine made formal introductions. Although the consul knew none of the others from personal experience, several of the names were familiar, and he used his diplomat's long training to file away identities and impressions. To the consul's left sat Father Lennar Hoyt, a priest of the old-style Christian sect known as Catholic. For a second, the consul had forgotten the significance of the black clothing and Roman collar. But then he remembered St. Francis Hospital on Hebron, where he had received alcohol trauma therapy after his disastrous first diplomatic assignment there almost four standard decades earlier. And at the mention of Hoyt's name, he remembered another priest, one who had disappeared on Hyperion halfway through his own tenure there.